raps to the mic with a boom ping ping. Wisdom sharper than a bee's fierce sting. Words like fireflies that light the night. He turns the dark into blazing bright. Boom ping ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom ping ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king, all the airwaves king. The ground unveils the truth where lies abound. Politics, justice, social streams. He molds the chaos into dreams. No silence here, just the sound of change. Boom, ping, ping, rearrange ya. Boom, ping, ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom, ping, ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king or the airwaves king. Through the static, through the noise, he amplifies the people's voice. Boom, ping, ping, like a heartbeat's call. He's got the wisdom to break down walls. Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Today is the last day of August in the year of our Lord 2026. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. If you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. That is 1017 The Truth on YouTube. Look it up on your smartphone or other mobile device. Hit subscribe. And a couple of things come with that subscription. Money doesn't come with the subscription. You don't get anything. Just the satisfaction of knowing that you will be connected to what I believe is the finest example of Milwaukee-based media, really anywhere in the land, where we keep you up to date, engaged, and informed about how your city is going down the tubes. Oh, it's not that bad. Calm down. I know that some of you are a little bit upset. Maybe you're frazzled or you're razzled because you found out about another group of bar closures over the weekend. And I know that you are very disappointed because the Silk Strip Club right off of Water Street has decided to temporarily shut its doors. And they are citing things like crime. Also, to add to the mix, Low Country, which was a bar that was wholly out of place on Water Street anyway, they have announced their closure. Back in May, this whole thing started off when Duke's announced that they would not be renewing any leases and they were going to close. And you probably are thinking, well, what gives, Sherwin? Well, I'm going to give you what gives because I want to provide some explanation to this, because the simplest answer is not always the correct one. It's very easy to blame crime. Very easy to blame a certain cohort that has been a little rambunctious, causing a few more problems than we've seen in recent years. Very easy to blame them, because a lot of times those stories of the fights and the melees that take place in the different entertainment districts, it just seems commonsensical. People are afraid to go out because they don't want to get punched in the face or shot in the face, or they don't want to get robbed. And you would think, well, that's the reason. That's the obvious reason. There's a lot more to it than that. Also, while not on Water Street, a bar that we talked about pretty much every day last week that's on Brady and Arlington, it's called The Garage, and they came out with a controversial list that made a lot of people upset. Something like 40 hip-hop artists were banned from being played by DJs that the Garage would hire. And they, the Garage, or at least management, cited, well, the music is very violent and we want to cut down on music that may encourage people to act out in a way that is unbecoming to business. And then it was a whole hullabaloo and a lot of people were angry and upset. Then we had a whole conversation about hip hop, the impact of hip hop music, which basically took us off track. Well, we come to find out that the Garage was going to temporarily close until they figured out what they were going to do. For the next 2 weeks, they were going to close. They were still going to pay their employees until they figured out which direction they were going to go in. And maybe it was because business was bad, maybe because there was a lot of blowback and a lot of controversy when they put out this list of 40 artists with at the very bottom of that list, no Milwaukee rap. That one really hurt a lot of people's feelings. They didn't like that. A lot of people very angry that Milwaukee rap was singled out. Can I say a little something about Milwaukee rap? Can I? It sucks. It's terrible. It's really, really bad. It's off key. It's off tempo. It's off beat. It sounds like the literature and the poetry that you get from a public school system where 90% of the children are not on grade level. I said what I said. But here's the thing. People have this deep affection for stuff that's local, even if it sucks. Y'all got to stop doing that. We need to have these things that we used to have. We don't have them anymore. Two things we used to have that we don't have anymore. Number one is shame. Number two is standards. Milwaukee rap sucks.
Certified Trapper's a goat.
The goat of what? Oh, you messing with me early, Xavier. We're going to have one of them kind of shows today. I'm here for it.
What? He's really good. You never listened to his song?
I've listened to his music. I have seen him come out on stage unannounced. I was at a show at the Rave. I don't know what show it was. But he came out just unexpected. Like, he wasn't on the list of artists to perform. People went insane.
He's the GOAT.
They, for a certain, like, age of people, I couldn't believe. So I was with, I don't know if I want to out this person. I was with an elected official, a young elected official, at this event. It was a whole bunch of us that were there. And this young elected official, like a prominent elected position, when Certified Trapper came out, they screamed. Like, ah! And they knew all the words. I'm like, what is happening? I felt old instantaneously.
Yeah, he's really good, actually.
But he sucks. The music is just, it's not for me. And I get it. It's got a name.
Slap.
No, low end music or something like that. It's got the genre has a title. It's just not for me because I came up in a different era, but whatever. But that made a lot of people very upset because there obviously are not a lot of places that, and maybe there are, I don't know. But to hear that the Garage wasn't going to play Milwaukee hip hop made a lot of people angry because they're very territorial over their music, because when it comes to the contributions of black people to this city, our positive contributions, I believe, are few and far between. No, we have a lot of them, but they just don't make the news and they don't get covered like they should. But that also speaks to our insecurity, because when black people do good stuff, because we're supposed to, because black people are inherently really good people. I like blacks a lot. I went out Friday night and I was surrounded by them. Felt comfortable. Felt like I was at home. I was eating chicken wings with Ice Cube's nephew. Don't ask me why that even happened, how my life even turned out the way that it did Friday night. Next thing you know, I'm sitting next to Ice Cube's nephew. He was telling everybody he was Ice Cube's nephew and nobody believed him. So we needed receipts, because anybody can say that they're Ice Cube's nephew. He FaceTimed Ray J. I'm not kidding you. If I'm lying, I'm dying. He FaceTimed Ray J and Ray J was like, yep, that's Ice Cube's nephew. And then we said, all right, thanks, Ray J. And then we were sitting around talking like, wait a minute, did we just FaceTime Ray J and did Ray J just provide a receipt for Ice Cube's nephew? And so we ordered a bunch of chicken wings. And I'm eating chicken wings. He likes ranch, by the way. Surrounded by many blacks. The blacks are great. But we get very angry when the news doesn't cover all the wonderful things that we do, because we want to be seen as wonderful people. We'll never be seen as wonderful people in their eyes. So please stop trying to hold it against media here. Do you guys know what the media's job is? Other than me, my job is different. It's to make y'all look bad. It's to blame black people for everything so that white people never have to take any kind of responsibility. At some point, we're going to have a conversation about two things that fit together like a jigsaw puzzle piece because everybody is so confused. Well, college has gotten too expensive and people can't afford to go to college anymore. There's a very specific reason for that because public universities used to be subsidized just like high schools. But when universities had to, by federal law, start allowing black people to attend those colleges, they started increasing the tuition because they don't want us to go to college. And if college had no value, like some of you actually believe, then it would be free. The other one is, why is our health insurance so expensive? We need free health care. I'm going to run on Medicare for all and Medicaid for all. Health insurance should be free. And there's going to be a lot of people that will probably turn out to vote for the idea of free or reduced cost health care or Medicare because the Affordable Care Act, which has been gutted like the Voting Rights Act by the Trump administration, is not making the cut. If you don't understand the role that race has played in those two things, increasing the cost of college and making sure that our health care is as expensive as possible, then we don't deserve either. You can't gloss over the history of why we don't have those things, free college, because we want Americans to be smarter, smarter than the Chinese, smarter than the Indians, smarter than the Japanese. It is an investment in the future of this nation and our international global competitiveness if Americans were smarter. But instead, Americans are dumb. And guess what dumb people are? Consumers. And since we're dumb and we're consumers, we're just making rich people rich, and they're very content to keep us dumb, sick, and can't afford to pay for college. So the reason why Milwaukee rap sucks is because it's just not very well thought out. You know what I mean? It's not very intricate. It's not very detailed. Well, anyway, the garage is closing permanently now. So they put a press release out last week to say, oh, we're going to close for 2 weeks. They're not opening again. But also, here's what they didn't tell you. That building that the garage is in, the garage and the hi-hat, has been for sale for 10 years. The owner's trying to get out of it. Nobody wants it. They made the decision in June to close. They were already going to close. But here's what they did, and it's genius, and we're going to talk about this and Water Street and Silk on Water Street using the same excuse. Blame the black people. Ain't got nothing to do with us. I am going to tell you why these bars are closing because it seems abrupt and all of a sudden, and the easy way out is just to blame violent blacks. It's not our fault. I mean, we're contributing a little bit. A little bit. We're not helping. But you can't just blame us, but that's what they would rather do. So the garage made the decision in the beginning of the summer that they were going to close permanently. They knew that they were closing. So this whole thing with banning the hip-hop artists, they didn't even have to do it. But the controversy that ensued and then the conversation about the violence of hip-hop and the violence of African-Americans tied in with all of the videos and all of the images that you all have seen of fights and shootings on Brady Street makes it seem like, oh, I understand why the garage is closing because of the black people. No, the garage and a whole bunch of other bars and strip clubs, you name it, are closing in the city of Milwaukee. It's not just because of bad black behavior, but it's just easy to accept that as an answer because you can scapegoat black people for anything. Anything negative and people will believe it. The only time that you're ever going to hear me use the word or the term goat in the same radio show in which we're talking about Milwaukee rap is scapegoat. Not goat of all time, not greatest of all time, because Certified Trapper, and he might be listening. Sorry, Mr. Trapper, whatever you prefer to be called, Sir Certified. It's just not good. It is, and Xavier, I know damn well you've played music that you listened to before. You listen to Men I Trust like I do. You don't listen to that stuff.
I definitely listen to Certified Trapper. It's my guilty pleasure.
What about Steve the Stoner?
No, just Certified Trapper.
All right.
Then. Literally the only Milwaukee rapper I listen to.
I'm going to tell you whose fault it really is while these bars in Milwaukee are closing. You ain't going to believe me, but I don't want you to believe me because I'm going to provide some proof and some evidence because that's what I do. It's Trump's fault. Xavier nodding his head. Yes, he ain't even got the detail. See, you know what? Well, here's what's crazy. Liberals, leftists, Democrats like myself, if anything bad is happening in the country, if you say it's Trump's fault, oh, yeah, it is. We don't even need the proof. We just want to blame him for everything. But also think about this. When bars and restaurants and strip clubs are closing in Milwaukee, and somebody says, oh, it's black people's fault, then there's a whole bunch of white folks that are quick to believe that. So if you tell me that something is bad in society and they say, oh, Sherwin, terrible things are happening in society, it's Trump's fault. Yep, it sure is. Bars and restaurants are closing in Milwaukee. It's the black's fault. Yep, it sure is. But we're going to get into it today. And, of course, your participation is always welcome. You can do it via YouTube or you can call us. 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. You used to could text that number. I mean, you still can, but your text messages are lost in the ether. So I don't know. Xavier knows where they go. I don't know where they go. Maybe they go to Santa Claus. Side note. Every day. Why did they lie to us about Santa Claus in the first place? You know, I wrote his fat ass letters. You know, the kids every single year write Santa Claus letters and they just go to the post office and just end up in a big pile. And then like the postal workers just read them and laugh at us. Why would you have me do that? Why? My parents got me posted stamps. Well, they also worked at the post office, which probably just got postage stamps for a discount. I would write letters to Santa Claus. Like, I'm just going to go right to the source. I'm not going to no damn mall and sitting on some pervert's lap.
That's sad.
My Santa Claus letters never got delivered.
Yeah. My mom told me right away. She said, ain't no white man giving you no presents. I'm Santa Claus.
She could have been a little more sensitive than that.
I like it. I like it raw.
I bet you do. I found out because, you know, those nights when, you know, Santa's coming, can't sleep. It was like magic. You would go to bed and there was no presents under the tree and you would wake up and it was a bounty. I wish that somebody would have kept the magic alive for me, because since that day, I think I was in second grade, so I was probably about 8 years old. A part of me died when I found out that Santa wasn't real, because I'm thinking to myself, my entire reality about the most beautiful, wonderful, joyous holiday has all been a lie. And then, because I've always been a critical thinker, I'm thinking to myself, Eugene and Emma, what else have you been lying about? Are your names even Eugene and Emma? Are you even my parents? Am I adopted? What is happening here? Why is my name Sherwin? Is this an entire CIA operation? Is this COINTELPRO? Why would you do this to me? So I woke up middle of the night and I heard commotion. I heard chitter chatter and I heard the ruffling sound. Hold on. See if I can recreate it for you. My parents were in the basement. I woke up in the middle of the night and I was looking for them and I couldn't find them. And I'm walking around the top level, first level of the house I grew up in. As I'm approaching the basement entry door, I hear this. And that's my mother talking. I hear my dad. I'm like, these nincompoops are rapping my gifts. When I woke up in the morning, I woke up with a real stern look on my face. I didn't even need to say anything. They knew. They knew that I knew. I almost started an inquisition because I wanted answers. Now, I was still going to open my gifts. Don't worry about that. And this was years before my brother Tyler was born. So when he was born, we kept up the lie. I just wanted to. You, woman, you sit there. Man, you sit here. I have questions. But sure, why not slap them both across the face? I will ask the questions. Why would you make up such a lie? I am your only child. Do you know the kind of damage that you have done? Shut up! I will ask the questions. That's what I wanted to happen, but I was 8. I'm going to take a break, come back. I'm going to give you the real reason why some of these Milwaukee bars and restaurants are closing. It may not be the reason that you think. And expect more closures to come. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
The data supports a broader explanation that crime is killing Water Street. Crime and the perception disorders are, in fact, real factors. But Milwaukee bars are also confronting a national contraction in alcohol consumption. So this leads us to the YouTube poll that we have posted because, you know, we here have inquisitive temperaments, and I always want information about those who choose to listen to and participate in this program. And the YouTube poll is as such. Very simple, very straightforward. We could have gotten more detail with it, but what's the point? Do you drink alcohol often, occasionally, or never? Numbers are striking at this point. 52% say they drink alcohol occasionally. 25% say they drink alcohol often. But the number I want to pay particular attention to is 23% that do not drink alcohol at all. Ladies and gentlemen, people are simply consuming less alcohol. And the younger you go, the less alcohol they are consuming. But there's some caveats to that in which I'm going to explain. Gen Z, which sometimes gets the blame for not drinking alcohol, 71% of them do report consuming some kind of alcohol. But for the most part, as a generation, they are not as heavy drinkers like Generation X and Baby Boomers. And I have even found, as I am getting a little bit older, when I drink, there has to be an occasion. I can't just drink because it's a Tuesday afternoon and it's raining. I have a whole stocked bar at my house. In fact, I have a bottle of scotch. Get this. Winky Blue bought me a bottle of scotch New Year's Eve 2017, and I just opened it in 2025 and poured myself and one other person a drink, and it's just sitting. Just sitting where my other alcohol and spirits are. So I have alcohol at my house to entertain guests because when they come over and they want a drink, they can help themselves to a drink. But the alcohol that I've got a bottle of Captain Morgan that has been sitting so long on my, I have like this buffet, like built-in cabinet. And sometimes if I lift up my shades, you're not supposed to have your alcohol in sunlight. Let me tell you why. So, you know, Captain Morgan is spiced rum. It's brown in color. This Captain Morgan has been exposed to the sun for so long, it literally turned clear. I'm not kidding. It still tastes the same, but it lost all of its brown color. So when I drink, there has to be some kind of an occasion. We're going out for somebody's birthday. There's something going on. There's got to be something. And I also limit my alcohol consumption to no more than, really under any circumstance, 2 days a week. And it's usually just 1 day a week because Friday I was out. I was in the streets on Friday. I was gallivanting around like a little trollop. But also, Ice Cube's nephew was at the atrium. And so, come on, Ice Cube's. I don't even know what his name is. I met him, we chatted, but the music was so loud in the atrium that all I heard was, oh, yeah. Because, you know, there's universal, like, body language when someone is talking to you, but you have literally no idea what you're saying. There's universal, like, head nods and eye squints, and then you got to turn your head sideways, and then sometimes you got to shrug your shoulders, and you got to be in disbelief. So it doesn't even really matter what the person is saying to you. It looks like you really are understanding what they're saying. I had no idea what he was saying. 26 percent of those that answered our YouTube poll said they drink alcohol often. The occasional category has gone down by 1%, and the category of never drinking alcohol is stagnant at 23%. That 23% is very significant because the number of people that consume zero alcohol could be the profit margin that a lot of these bars need in order to remain open and profitable. You got to remember a couple of factors. Now, we live in a much higher tax environment than we did just a couple of years ago. If you purchase something anywhere else in the state of Wisconsin outside of like a 4 or 5 county area of southeastern Wisconsin, the sales tax is only 5%. But in the city of Milwaukee, it is 7.9%. That is $2.90 more for every $100 you spend. Now, upon initial inspection, that's not the end of the world. But if you add up those $100 spends over the course of a year, that is significant. That is sizable. And that may make some people say, hey, you know what? Let's not go out tonight. Let's stay in tonight. Let's have a chill night. Let's have a movie night. Speaking of movie night, had a movie night on Saturday. Love having a movie night because I get to just relax in my comfy chair and I'm just sitting there and I'm very relaxed. Rented a movie called Backrooms, scared the bejesus out of me. And I'm not a person that's easily scared by the horror movies. This one had me reconsidering many things in my life.
That scared you?
Holy crapola. Yes, it did. It got weird at the end, but it just, because it reminded me of the Blair Witch Project. And I know that movie, some people thought that was stupid. When I saw the Blair Witch Project, when that came out in the theaters in probably 97 or 98, scared me to death. And let me tell you why. Because I was going up north with my white friends the next weekend. Wrong movie to see. Wrong movie to see before you go up north with the whites. And we were deep in Vilas County. We were outside of a town called Woodruff. Woodruff is near Minocqua, which is like a happening, real touristy place full of Illinois people for the most part. But Woodruff is literally in the woods. This cat I grew up with, his parents have. So it looks like a log cabin, but it's actually a mansion, like 5 bedrooms, 6 bathrooms. It's built into the side of a hill. It is an impressive piece of architecture. You look up, it's bald eagles flying around. We brought our guns. You can shoot your guns up there, but you are in the middle of the woods. You know what it looks like? You know what it reminds me of with all the pine trees? When you go way, way up north, it looks like when you go way, way, way down south, like the woods of Mississippi, Tennessee, and Arkansas. Very similar. Even the soil is very similar, very sandy soil. So I saw the Blair Witch Project, and I was like, I don't know if this is a good idea to go up north with the whites. Now, this was also 30 years ago. Here's what I would say now. If you're planning a trip up north or into some desolate area with the whites and you're a black, I don't know if you should go, because a lot of good trees for hanging. A lot of good, a lot of sturdy pine, a lot of white pine, a lot of spruce, a lot of, you know what I mean? Pine is a hardwood. A lot of it, I was thinking to myself, ooh, if it was today, I don't know if I'd go, Sherwin, what are you doing next weekend? Oh, I don't know. Humor me. What y'all got going on? You want to go deep in the woods, dude, with us? Like, really far. Like, your cell phone is only going to have one bar. There's no Wi-Fi. And if you scream for help, no one's going to hear you. You want to come with us? Don't worry. We'll drive. You can leave your car at home and all of your personal belongings. I don't think I'd go. But I saw Backrooms. I don't like how you dismissed my fear, Xavier. Oh, that scared you? Yes, it did.
I'm a horror movie guy. I thought it was a good movie, but I wasn't scared. But I did like it a lot. I give it a solid 8.5 out of 10, and I don't give high ratings.
I can't pronounce the main actor's name. He's another one of these Nigerians that come over and do American black acting.
Yeah, taking our jobs.
Seriously. I mean, I like the Nigerians. I've mended fences with them. I used to not care for them so much because they come over here and they're all offensive because they're mad at us blacks, but whatever. I can't pronounce his name.
You know the actor I'm talking about?
I know you're talking about, but I don't know his name.
I can't even try to pronounce it. But he is Nigerian. He's English, but Nigerian English. Scary movie. So that's what I did on Saturday. Take a break, come back. I know you guys are craving the details as to why these bars and these restaurants are closing. Silk on Water is an interesting case because it took the proprietors of the Silk franchise 10 years to get the licensure that they needed to even open up downtown. And that club wasn't even open as long as it took to get the license to open it in the first place. But don't let this fool you, because the industry is still alive and well, because the remaining Silks have now expanded to day shift. So if business was bad for the shake club industry, they wouldn't be expanding the day shift. In fact, Xavier, I tried to get you to come with me to Silky when they first opened up for day shift, but you said you had a booty call. You said you was going dogging.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. Priorities are good.
Yeah. I mean, and plus I wasn't dressed for it. You know, I'm kind of, you know, I'm wearing athletic clothes.
I mean, it's not, you ain't got to wear a damn tuxedo. I mean, you think about it, the women in there are naked.
Well, so, I don't know. I feel like if you're going to a gentleman's club, I feel like they have some kind of, you know, attire you're supposed to be wearing.
A gentleman? Only gentleman you may see is an occasional transgender. I'm kidding. Relax. Good grief. You guys are so uptight. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Our telephone number, if you're so inclined, is 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. Do you go out downtown? If so, how often? When you go out downtown, do you drink a mocktail? Drink a non-alcoholic beverage? We put up a YouTube poll trying to ascertain what is the percentages of people that participate in this program that consume alcohol either often, occasionally, or never. 21% of you don't drink at all. 53% of you drink occasionally, and 26% of you drink often. This is one of the more specific reasons as why some of these bars are closing. There's another reason I'm going to get to in a moment. But what we're not going to do is blame the behavior of African Americans and the videos that we've seen of the, you know, streets being full of young people that are too young to drink, and, you know, sometimes fights break out or whatever. We're also not going to blame the damn food trucks. There's a real economic reason as to why some of these bars are closing. And I know Silk made headlines over the weekend because people found out that Silk on Water Street, and they cited the violence. Now, it certainly plays a role, absolutely, but there's always been violence in and around alcohol-serving establishments. In fact, there is a special police task force that is dedicated to mitigating crime and keeping people safe and making arrests when things happen. They've had that code red task force for a decade or more. So there's always the expectation that when people consume and consume too much, there might be some disagreements, there may be some fights, tempers may flare, et cetera, et cetera. So it isn't just the violence. Now, some places may use that as an excuse, but it's more economic than anything. But I'm going to give you the details of that in just a second. The newest Gallup numbers are striking. In August 2026, Gallup reported that only 54% of American adults say they drink alcohol. Now, let's compare that with our poll, where 53% of you say that you drink occasionally. So far, that tracks. They say that tied with 2025 for the lowest level of alcohol consumers, going all the way back to 1939. As recently as 2023, 62% of American adults say they drink alcohol. So that is an 8-point swing in just the last, not even full 3 years. Last 2 years and 8 months, give or take, the number of Americans that say they consume alcohol has gone down 8%. And in that 8%, a lot of times, is the profit that some of these bars need in order to stay operable. We had an NPS referendum, which increased our property taxes. A lot of these proprietors that own these bars and these restaurants, they don't own the buildings. They lease the buildings. And a lot of times their rents have gone up. That cost is going to get passed on to you, the consumer. And if you have declining numbers of people that are drinking anyway, and you make it more expensive, let me do you one better. Sales taxes have gone up almost 3% in the city of Milwaukee. You add that to increased rents, increased leases, increased property taxes. But then let me do you one better. You guys have any idea how much alcohol that we as Americans consume that is imported either from Canada, who we're in a stupid trade war with, or Mexico or Europe? You know how many French wines, French cognacs, and French champagnes that Americans consume? An ungodly amount. So I want you to add up this math here. I want you to add up the property taxes that have increased and the rents and the leases that have increased. Let me do you this little solid favor here. If your rent has gone up, the apartment that you lease, if that has gone up, the bars and the restaurants that you go to, they're not immune from those increases. Plus, the consumer pocketbook has been hit with a double whammy in the city of Milwaukee. Our increase in sales taxes, so everything is 3% more expensive in the city of Milwaukee than it is, say, in Keewaskum or Fond du Lac or Dane County. And you have declining numbers of people that are drinking as it is. That is hurting a lot of these businesses. But the tariffs on the imported alcohols that Americans consume, they have to pass those prices on to you. And at some point, everything comes to a head. But instead of blaming the economy, which you really have to see what the role of the economy is playing, because with all of these increases in property taxes, with sales taxes and tariffs, salaries and incomes have not gone up to match how much more expensive things are getting. As bad as the Democrats are, and I say Democrats are bad because you have Democratic socialists that now in some cases look more attractive than traditional Democrats. The fact that the DNC doesn't have any money, can't raise any money. And the fact that even with everything going on, Republicans are more excited and more supportive of the Republican Party than Democrats are about the Democratic Party. Democrats still have an advantage because of the affordability of things in this nation, which says a lot. It says that Trump is just that bad. Even if Democrats are rating their party as a lot lower than they should in a midterm election year, they still have the wind at their back because the Trump administration is refusing to admit and understand how affordability is hurting everybody, including some of these businesses. But what we're not going to do is we are not going to simply blame African-American behavior and the young people that are congregating on Water Street and Brady Street as the reason why all these bars are closing. The Garage had planned to close their doors permanently back in June. That's what they should have told us. But had they told us that then, people probably would have stopped going. Because why continue going to a bar? Like, they'll be like, oh, no, it's sad. The Garage is closing. Everybody, let's go there this weekend. But then for the most part, people would change their habits and they would go somewhere else. Silk on Water, if you look it up publicly on Zillow, it's for sale. It's been for sale for $1 million, actually. For only $1 million, you can own your own strip club. That's, I mean, I suppose you can make your money back over time. But it's for sale. And I don't know if downtown Milwaukee can support 3 strip clubs. You got Texas J's, which technically not really downtown, but it's in Walker's Point. They're all within a mile of each other. So Silk on Juno, Juno on Water, Texas J's in Walker's Point, and then the Silk on King Drive. Like, that's a lot of nipples in a very short, small little radius. And to respond to a comment that somebody left in the YouTube chat, I'm going to take a break and come back and talk more about this. They said, oh, because Giannis is gone, that's going to kill downtown. If I go to a lot of Bucks games, in the last couple of seasons, Giannis didn't even play a lot. That's number one. Number two, I don't even know if it's a lot of Milwaukee people that even go to Bucks games. Them people are from elsewhere. Bucks games are incredibly expensive, insanely expensive, so expensive that they price most median income Milwaukeeans out. If you have a family of four and you want to go to a Bucks game, that's $200, $250 if you're spending a penny. Parking, tickets, got to get you a beer, got to get some hot dogs, got to get some food, at least $250 to go to a Bucks game. That's not a lot of Milwaukee people that are going to those games. And those that go aren't going just to see Giannis play. Maybe leading up to, I shouldn't even say championship season because that was COVID. Maybe the season afterwards, people might want it to. They had an increased demand and wanting to go to Bucks games. But Bucks attendance isn't necessarily driven by one player. If anything, I think there's going to be more curiosity to see what this new team is going to look like. I'll be honest with you. I'm ready to go see little preseason Bucks. Preseason Bucks with a whole bunch of players whose names that we don't know. Here's what I'd love to see. Can we do an exhibition game of, like, the bench riding NBA athletes playing against the top starters in the WNBA? Yeah, you wouldn't want to see that, would you? A top-ranked high school team could beat the best WNBA team, no question in my mind. And that would be bad for business because it would show I might be able to dunk on Caitlin Clark. Why are you nodding your head? No, I will dunk all over her.
No, those girls will run around you.
No, they won't. They're clumsy with it. My jump shot is nasty. I got nice range from the perimeter.
I would love to see you play some basketball.
I'll go one-on-one Sophie Cunningham. And then we'll play basketball afterwards. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Alcohol industry sales data point in the same direction. The International Wine and Spirits Record, so they are an organization that tracks literally to the penny the industry of wine, beer, ready-to-drink cocktails. They track the whole industry, how much people are consuming, how much people are buying, and how much money the industry is making. The IWSR, the International Wine and Spirits Record, reports that U.S. beverage alcohol volume fell roughly 5% in 2025 alone, while across major and international markets, alcohol volumes fell 3%. The exceptions showing relative strength were ready to drink and no alcohol beverages. For a neighborhood built heavily around taverns, clubs, and late-night alcohol sales, that's an important structural change in Milwaukee. The health perception has undergone a remarkable reversal. This one is huge, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm trying to give you additional information so we stop blaming black people for why bars are closing, even though the bars are going to be blaming the black people. It's not just us. Alcohol has gotten too expensive. Consumers are not able to keep up, and we live in a very high tax environment. Everything has gotten expensive, especially since COVID. In 2001, so a quarter century ago, only 27% of Americans believed drinking one or two alcoholic beverages per day was bad for your health. In 2025, that number jumped to 53%. You know, remember back in the day, they said, oh, drinking a glass of wine is good for you. Oh, go ahead, pregnant ladies. It's okay to have a glass of wine or two with dinner. I kind of wish some of y'all didn't listen to that advice because some of y'all babies came out drunk, and now they're adults, and they're still a little scrambled in the brains. That was all made up. like, oh, if you drink a little bit of wine or if you have a beer every now and again, it's good for your HDL or your LDL cholesterol because it thins the blood. That was mostly inconclusive evidence. The damage that alcohol does is far worse than any kind of health benefits you may receive. But studies were commissioned to show that, oh, no, drinking a little bit of alcohol is actually good for you. And all y'all needed was just the tiniest excuse to get drunk. You know what that was in response to? The increased legalization of marijuana. They had to put out propaganda to continue to give people reasons to consume alcohol, because here's something else that we have found. In the counties in which marijuana is legal, alcohol consumption has plummeted. You can probably go back maybe 10 or 15 years where the number of cannabis dispensaries in L.A. County have outnumbered the number of bars, taverns, and liquor stores for probably 10 years now. Now, some of you might be intimately familiar with this. When you're smoking on that sticky icky, you know, that ooh-wee, it dramatically lowers your alcohol tolerance. So even if you do like to consume a beverage every now and again, if you're smoking a fat blunt of sticky stanky, your alcohol consumption is going to be greatly reduced. And what does that mean? That means less sales and less profit for these industries. Meanwhile, 86% of Americans say they have heard at least something about recent research concerning alcohol's long-term health effects. So alcohol is experiencing something familiar to cigarettes. The product's social image is changing. That doesn't mean alcohol is about to disappear. It means that drinking is increasingly viewed as something to moderate rather than an automatic component of social life. And that's particularly consequential for Milwaukee bars. Someone going from 8 drinks a week to 4 doesn't have to become sober to hurt the alcohol industry's revenue. Millions of people are drinking slightly less. That is actually enough. There's also a familiar statement that Gen Z doesn't drink, but that's a little too simple, according to this article. Earlier research did show young adults drinking substantially less than previous generations, and young adults remain particularly skeptical about alcohol's health effects. Gallup says roughly 2/3 of younger adults have recently regarded moderate alcohol as harmful, but the new IWSR, the International Wine and Spirits Record, research complicates the story considerably. Among legal drinking age Gen Z Americans, participation has actually been increasing as the generation ages and incomes rise. The IWSR 2026 survey found U.S. Gen Z participation is about 71% versus 70% for the overall U.S. population. What is different is how Gen Z drinks. Younger consumers are much more likely to moderate, take temporary breaks from drinking, experiment with no or low alcohol products, and respond to health messaging. Earlier IWSR research found about 75% of Gen Z consumers using no to low alcohol products reported moderating their alcohol consumption. That is also why you have the rise of these seltzers. You have many, many seltzers. They're a little bit lower in alcohol. Some of you might be familiar with a brand called White Claw. If you've never had it before, it tastes like slightly flavored television static. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back for hour two.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.